From CKUT in Montreal, these are the headlines. An inquest into last summer's police shooting of 18-year-old Freddy Villanueva was suspended indefinitely on Tuesday. Judge Robert Sanfaçon suspended the inquest because several of the key witnesses, including the mother of Freddy Villanueva and other direct victims, did not have proper legal representation. It's been reported that the Quebec government will provide proper legal representation for the witnesses, but it is still yet to be determined whether they will participate. The victims and family are demanding that the inquest be given a broader scope in its ability to bring to justice the police who shot Freddy Villanueva.
A Sri Lankan government official said last week that refugees displaced by the internal conflict between government military and Tamil rebels will face up to 2 years in internment camps. Detainees had told the British newspaper, The Guardian, that they are short of food, water, and medicine. The government says it needs to hold the civilians until it can establish whether or not they belong to the group formerly known as the Tamil Tigers. International aid organizations and media have been blocked from accessing the refugee camps. This comes a week after the government's military victory over Tamil rebels, ending 25 years of civil war.
The vast majority of Canadians want this country's military excursion in Afghanistan to stop, in or before 2011, according to an online survey of a representative national sample. A new Angus Reid Strategies poll has found 84% of Canadians want their troops to leave Afghanistan by 2011. While a growing majority of Canadians, currently at 51%, would end Canada's occupation in Afghanistan well before 2011. As once again shown from previous Angus Reid Strategies polls on this topic, the clear majority of Canadians, 57%, continue to disagree with the decision to extend Canada's attempted occupation of Afghanistan from 2009 until 2011. It was the third time the government of Canada had broken its promise to the citizens as to when they were going to bring our soldiers home. In Quebec, 76% of citizens disagreed with that extension in Afghanistan, and an overwhelming 67% call for an end to the Canadian occupation in Afghanistan before 2011. On the end, outside of the majority, at least 2 in 5 Liberal and Conservative voters would stick to the current schedule that calls for the bulk of the troops to be withdrawn in 2011. For headlines, I'm Tariq Jura-Burkhan in Montreal.
On Thursday, May 21st, a 27-year-old activist by the name of Shark from the Native Youth Movement Warrior Society was arrested on outstanding charges stemming from actions protecting Sheshwapemki Mountains. These sacred mountains, largely known in English as the Shuswap region, are located primarily north and east of Kamloops, British Columbia. The conflict surrounds the illegal selling of native land to foreign companies, in particular the Japanese company Sun Peaks Resort Corporation. In a statement released last week by the Native Youth Movement reads, "These companies develop mass destruction to the land and water, in turn killing the original natural habitat of these mountains, including Sheshwapemki people." The Sun Peaks Resort is the second largest ski area in Canada. Since 2000, the Sheshwapemki people have been taking direct action to stop Sun Peak from destroying their hunting, berry picking, and medicine mountains.
In Israel, a draft law was passed that would make it illegal for Arabs to commemorate the catastrophe, or Nakba. The Nakba is observed every year on the 15th of May when Arabs mourn the death of hundreds of Palestinians and the mass displacement resulting from the creation of Israel. Under the proposed legislation, those publicly commemorating the Nakba could be jailed for up to 3 years. The ultra-nationalist Yisrael Beitenu party instigated the law. The draft law will be submitted for Israeli parliamentary approval next week. It is likely to face heavy opposition, including from some coalition members. The party followed the bill by separate proposal making Israeli citizenship contingent on an oath of allegiance. Both bills are perceived to target the country's Arab minority, which form about 20% of Israel's population.
Lansdowne Park in Ottawa is the location of a controversial weapons trade show in disregard of a 20-year city ban on such events. The trade show is hosted by the Canadian Association of Defense and Security Industries despite a 1989 Ottawa City Council decision which forbids the use of city property for weapons trade shows. Quote, "Previous city policies were dropped and a new ban on weapons shows was not put in place," says city solicitor Rick O'Connor. Community residents met earlier this week to discuss strategies to convince the city to reinstate the ban. Past weapons trade shows have showcased weapons and arms that have resulted in Canadian military expenditures. Activists from dozens of citizens' groups have been meeting to plan an all-inclusive counter-event and organize ways of getting the city to uphold the law banning weapon shows. So while arms dealers and bureaucrats gather in Ottawa to make their deals, there will be speakers, poetry, music, and determined opposition organized to this business of destruction on the ground and all around. For headlines, I'm Tarek Jura-Burkhan in Montreal.
On Monday, Alberta Premier Ed Stelmach formalized an official relationship with the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, more commonly known as OPEC. The new relationship greatly increases opportunities for corporations to invest in the Alberta Tar Sands project, a move that may seem good for the economy, but only generates more potential destruction for the activists fighting against the multifaceted damage caused by the project. McDonald, an activist against the project, explains the scope of the development.
I'll just quickly give a website, oilsandstruth.org/maps/updated. The reason for that is that those are the most recent projected pipelines and communities and refineries and all of that development across the entire continent. And you can look at that map as an intimidating bunch of fear of how big this project is, the largest one in human history. But you can also look at that map as an entirely easy to access map of your allies and communities that have their own reasons. Fort Chip needs to do the work they're doing to continue to fight this back for their own survival. But that doesn't only apply there. That includes Sarnia, that includes places in northern BC, that includes communities around Chicago and elsewhere. And here in Montreal, they're part of something called the Enbridge Trailbreaker Project, where they want to go through Sarnia, through Montreal, down to Portland, Maine, and start poisoning the Atlantic Ocean with the possibility of several hundred tanker traffic units per year. They also want to stop off at the Petrocan, i.e. the Olympic sponsor of energy, Petrocan refinery, out here in East Montreal. Then it won't be bringing in tar sand bitumen there. They will also have to expand the pipelines to bring it in here. So there are points of resistance to protect the St. Lawrence River, to protect your own air for your very own good reasons here. It just also happens to be able to stop maybe an entire mine from being built in the Fort McMurray area.
With its links to the 2010 Olympics and the proposed pipeline system, the Tar Sands project is seen from one end as a cancerous development feeding off of and embedding itself into the tissue of the national economy. But while the Tar Sands project appears to be destroying our environment as quickly as it can, our market-based economy could not survive without it. Economy expert Nahed Nenshi explains.
So, you know, it's certainly true that if the oil sands development stopped now, it would decimate the economy of Alberta and probably of Saskatchewan as well, which is a big challenge because those are the economies that are keeping Canada going. You know, as we see Ontario slipping into have-not mode, that's a very big deal. That said, I don't want to diminish the issues that folks who are concerned about the environment, about Aboriginal issues and so on, have with oil sands development. It's a difficult situation that we're in as a country because our growth, our potential future economic growth, is tied to a kind of development that a lot of people find objectionable. And that's really something that we have to come to terms with here in Alberta and across the country about which we prioritize over which.
For the headlines, I'm Chris Albanetti in Montreal. That's all for this week's edition of the headlines, produced by CKUT's News Collective in Montreal. The headlines is your independent perspective on the hard-hitting stories in the news each week. Produced in collaboration with the Dominion, the headlines can be heard every Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM and on community radio stations across the country. Our broadcasts are also available online at ckutnews.wordpress.com. The headlines produced by CKUT's News Collective, news for the community, by the community.